In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to a Reformation Day Chapel service on Friday morning, October 31st, from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Reformation Day, live Friday morning at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week we do a series called Christ in the Old Testament. We're all over the Old Testament. Sometimes we'll linger in a particular prophet. There are a few prophets that we don't visit that often. Isaiah is one that we get to a lot, Jeremiah a lot. This is kind of following the way that the church tracks with these prophets in Sunday morning readings. Today, Micah, which is, well, he's not as sung as the other prophets are. And in Micah chapter 3, where is Christ there? Joining us to talk about Christ in the Old Testament in Micah chapter 3, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
You want to begin, you say, by making a distinction, and a really careful and important distinction, between what you call the internal word and the external word. Why is that so important here?
Well, what we have here is we have two different sets of prophets, if you will. You have the false prophets who are falsely prophesying. They're proclaiming the words of their own heart versus the true prophet, which in this case, of course, is going to be Micah. So you have this contrast between the two different types of prophets, the two different types of teachers. Both of them are claiming to have these visions, a vision either internally, a vision out of the heart, that it comes from the image of that one individual's imagination, or, as a true prophet like Micah is, externally the word comes to him and gives him the Holy Spirit, and he speaks. And so this is the contrast between the internal and the external. The internal word is that which kind of brews in one's heart. And so one has this imagination of a vision of what he thinks reality should be or what the kingdom of God should look like, versus the external, where God comes to the person from the outside. So we're always dealing with this throughout the Scripture, and even in our own lives in the church. Are we listening to the voice of God that's in our heart, or is it the voice of God that comes externally through the preached word, which enters through our ear as we hear it, and then it enters into our heart where it clings, or it enters in through our eyes as we read it? So it's always external. And this has to do, too, with this whole sending of the prophets, that it's God who comes to his people externally to proclaim this word, to give this vision, versus these visionaries who project the visions from their own heart internally out to the people.
That's a distinction not only for Micah in his day, but for us today as well, Pastor Ketchelmeyer?
Yeah, it is, because even in Micah's day, just like our day, you have people who are teachers, who are leaders in the church. And so you have both the leaders who are either true prophets, or you have the leaders who are false prophets. Now, the true prophet leads the people to Christ. The false prophet leads the people away from Christ. And so you have this constant battle going on throughout the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and into our own day, where somebody's in a teaching office, and what they sound seems very biblical. They sprinkle it with the words of Yahweh, that Yahweh says this, and Yahweh spoke to me, and Yahweh told me this. And so how are you able to discern this? So that throughout Scripture, we're always warned about these different teachings, because all these teachings come from some source, either internally in man's fallen heart, or externally from God. So that's why you'll have, like in the epistle, the first epistle of John in chapter 4, where he teaches us to discern the spirits. Either you have these false spirits which give to you this false message, or you have the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, which gives to you the true message. And so how can you discern the false spirits from the spirit of truth? Well, we have the written word. This is the word through which the Holy Spirit comes to us. This is the means through which God reveals to us the knowledge of salvation. And it's all centered in the person and work of Christ.
Okay, so give us a little context, if you would, since we don't often dip into Micah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Micah is going to be a contemporary of Isaiah. So a lot of what Micah is saying is very similar to what Isaiah the prophet says. And both Micah and Isaiah are dealing with leaders who are leading the people away from Christ. These are visionaries who are projecting their own visions into the people's ears. These are ones who are giving the image from their own imagination. And so what God does is he sends a prophet. He sends somebody externally to correct this, in order to proclaim the truth. The truth, of course, is about Christ. And so both Micah and Isaiah, in these same days, the people are being led astray. And what will happen is first you're going to have the Assyrians come over the horizon, and then you're going to have the Babylonians come over the horizon. So it's in that historical setting. But in both days, in both places, with Isaiah and with Micah, you have these leaders who are saying that we are speaking the truth of Yahweh. Yahweh is with us. Yahweh is in our midst, and disaster cannot fall upon us because Yahweh is the one who's giving us this information. And so Yahweh has to send the prophets from the outside and say, I never gave you these visions that you're having. I never gave you the imaginations of your heart. That's your own images that you're casting before the people. And so constantly these false prophets are preaching this false security, and they're leading people into this whole idea that what they're saying is right. It's this preachers of prosperity. And so what has to happen is God has to send his prophet from the outside externally to correct and to bring the Holy Spirit, to bring repentance and faith.
Okay, so this is false prophets, true prophets, both. It's not like the false prophet comes and says, I bring you a word from Baal or from Molech or something. They claim to speak in the name of Yahweh.
And this is the basic understanding that we must come to grips with, is throughout both the Old and the New Testament, these are teachers within the church who are proclaiming that they are speaking in the stead of Yahweh. I mean, it's not like you said that they come and they say, hey, I'm speaking in the name of Baal, and everything that I say is pagan. Instead, it's all decorated with biblical text. They like to sprinkle this with things that sound right. They sound good. And so you have to have a prophet, a true prophet, that God himself sends from the outside to come and correct matters. And so when Micah comes to correct these matters, he's speaking to teachers who are in the church, in the body of Christ, in the people of God. And so you have this in Micah 3, where thus says Yahweh, speaking by the mouth of Micah, against these prophets who lead his people astray because they bite with their teeth, and they preach peace, which he did not put in their mouths. And then they cry holy war against him. And so you have this whole understanding that a teacher is supposed to speak God's word. One who is giving this message is the message that God gives to be spoken. But what they're doing is they're not using their mouths to proclaim God's word. Instead, they're using their mouths in this kind of this imagery that their teeth are using to bite. And instead, they give this false security, this peace when there is no peace. And so they, instead of actually giving the people of God the bread of life, they're supposed to be feeding, instead they are feasting on the people of God. So they're biting with their teeth. And this is the image that Micah will use in chapter 3 of these false shepherds. They're eating their sheep instead of feeding their sheep. And so he says, you hate the good and you love the evil. You tear the skin off from my people. You eat the flesh of my people. You break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot. And so this is this whole image that instead of feeding the sheep with the bread of life, they are feasting upon the sheep. And they're giving this whole false message of peace when there is no peace. It is a peace without Christ. It is a peace of their own making. It's this idea that everything is prosperous and well because we say so.
Okay, but so we rightly understand this. The false prophets and the people who are listening to them, the people who are listening to them don't think that they're being feasted upon. They think that they're getting a genuine word from Yahweh. They're believing the is not Yahweh in the midst of us, no disaster shall come upon us, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And so this is constantly a theme that you have in the Old Testament, is that false teachers preach this once saved, always saved kind of a message, this false security that once we were delivered out of Egypt, we've always been delivered out of Egypt. And so now we are free to do whatever we want, and freedom reigns. And so constantly the people are listening to these prophets who will proof text. They'll take passages from Moses, and it sounds very, very authentic. And they'll listen to this, and they assume that what they're hearing is the truth, because these people stand in the stead, and they speak as if they are speaking the truth. And so when the people say, Yahweh has made a promise with us that nothing will ever befall us, that we will never have any harm, no foreign nation will come and devour us, these are true statements. I mean, this is what Moses had said. But the problem is that Moses said this while you walk in the light, and you continue to listen to the voice of God, and you continue to remain in the covenant, these promises of peace will happen. However, when you break covenant, then all hell breaks loose, if you will. You have plagues, you have famine, you have the warring nations will come, and they will devour you, and they will slay you. And so you have them taking up passages from Moses and proclaiming it. God promises us peace. God promises us that no kingdom can overtake us. Because God is with us, he will be our strength and he'll be our fortress. And so they constantly sprinkle this in the ears of the people. And they like to hear it as they speak this prosperity, that everything is well with your soul. And the one thing they do not do is expose sin.
We're talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. It's our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in the prophet Micah, the third chapter. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Ernst is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen to a Reformation Day Chapel service on Friday morning, October 31st, from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Reformation Day, live Friday morning at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in Micah chapter 3, Christ in the Old Testament, our weekly series on this Thursday afternoon, October the 29th, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Brian, a couple other things here, and this is from the 11th verse there in Micah chapter 3, where the Lord says through Micah that these prophets, these false prophets, are practicing divination. Now, it's for a monetary profit, but it's not so much the money that is the real sin here. It is the divination. What is that?
Yeah, this idea of this divination is they're trying to discern these things. They're trying to discern what the future holds. And so they're trying to lead the people into a direction that they're going to lay forth before them. This is this practice of divination. It's a practice, of course, that's forbidden because only God himself knows the future. And so God himself reveals to us the future that we need to hold. But what typically happens, and especially in all of these pagan cultures, is you go to these pagan temples and you have the oracles there that talk about your future and predicting kind of these things, these fortunes that are going to happen to you. And so you get into this whole realm of trying to foresee and forecast what the future holds. But it's God himself who gives you the future. And that future, of course, is always fulfilled in the coming of Christ, the Christ who comes to restore creation and to bring the new heavens and the new earth. And so that's the future that we are to behold, and that's where we're to place our eyes. But this practice of divination is they're looking for some other source outside of God's revealed word, where God comes externally. And you end up just internally trying to interpret these signs. And so you notice here that the priest will teach for a price and the prophets practice divination for monetary profit. I mean, what's going on is it's good business. And good business is always good when you proclaim good things for the future. You predict that your fortunes will be well, and as the hearer's fortunes are going to be well, well, so does the speaker's fortunes increase as the money comes in.
And yet, there is a word of warning and, in fact, a kind of a certain promise of punishment for these false prophets. How is that to be understood based on these passages in Micah?
Well, these are the same warnings we have in the New Testament, that we're to watch out for such people because they're causing division. They're separating the unity that we have with God in this fellowship, this participation with God as he brings us into his presence. And so you're always watching out for them because they, like Paul will say in Romans 16, they do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own appetites, and they deceive the hearts of the naive. Or in Philippians 3, Paul says their God is their belly. That's who they're following after, and they're actually enemies of the cross with their mind set upon earthly things. And then, of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, they're imagining that godliness is this means of gain, and we're warned there, if anyone teaches a different doctrine that does not agree with these sound words, okay, he is puffed up and he actually understands nothing. And so what'll happen is these people will come to an end. And specifically in the days of Micah, you have the proclamation that Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins. And so the city will be destroyed, and all of these who are ruling and reigning, they will be replaced. I mean, you want to lead the people away into darkness and to pagan realities? Well, then fine. Over the horizon, the pagan kingdoms will come, and they will capture you, and they will keep you in this darkness, and they will reign, and they will rule over you. And all of this always points towards the New Testament, when you still have, in that day, even in that day, you have the leaders leading people away from Christ, and then they try to get rid of Christ by putting him to death. And then they are replaced. These leaders are replaced with the apostles that Jesus puts there, and of course, Jerusalem is destroyed. So same thing. So their end will come. They will not be able to endure forever, for only the word of the Lord will endure forever.
The greatest judgment that appears here in these opening verses of Micah is that although they have been false prophets, the greatest judgment that God can leave with the people is to give them no word, is to not speak a word to them at all. Talk about that, if you would, Pastor Ketchumar.
Yeah, again, we're talking about this internal word. It's kind of this feeling in the heart where you say, I feel that God has told me this, and then you're trying to interpret things with your own understanding of how you think God should make things work out. And so these individuals are leading the people astray with the images from their own imagination. And so what God does is he externally sends the prophet, and the prophet has to come from the outside and proclaim the truth. And this truth that he proclaims is that here's what's going to happen. There will be no vision, and let us all be clear about that. These people who are leading you astray, they have no vision, and they will be without vision. It shall be night to them. It'll be darkness to them, and the sun shall go down on these prophets, and they shall be black over them. So this whole image that God himself is light, and of course, the second person of the Trinity, as we wait for him, he's the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, who rises with healing in his wings. Well, if they prefer the darkness to the light, then God is making it very clear, then they will have darkness. There will be no vision. God gives them no vision. And even when they cry out to him, he will not answer them. He will not listen to them, and he will hide his face from them. So his face will no longer shine upon them, and there will be this famine of God's word.
And that is greater than any other judgment that God can give. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Because without God's word, there is no life. There is no eternal life. There is all you're left with is darkness and this separation from the loving presence of God. And so this is the worst kind of a punishment that can be given. If the people want to follow false prophets, well, then the people will just continue their way and fall off the cliff. And that way will continue to take them away from Christ. And so this is the absolute worst kind of a punishment you can have, is that there is this no more light. And this is what Jesus says in the Gospels. When he tells them over and over again, he says, listen to me and walk in the light while the light is still here. Because when the light is gone, you are going to be left in the darkness of your sins.
Now, we've talked extensively here about the prophets who depend upon the internal word, and they are the false prophets. And now we turn to the prophet in this case. And he's among others, but Micah in particular, who depends upon the external word. Julia has a question. She says, could Pastor Ketchelmeyer please explain how the word would have come to Micah if it came through this kind of internal, the false word comes through this internal imagination of the false prophets? How would the true word come to Micah?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so what you have here is, first of all, understand these are people who are in leadership in amongst the people of God, and so they are supposed to be leading the people of God to Christ, but they're leading them away. And so they're leading after the imagination of their own heart, and that's the direction they're taking the people. But what God then has to do is he has to take somebody from the outside. So he takes Micah from the outside, and he puts Micah into this prophetic prophetic office. And you see this call of Micah in chapter 1, specifically at verse 1, when it says the Devar Yahweh, that is, the word of the Lord came to Micah. And so it's this word externally comes to Micah. It's God who comes to us to correct all of this internal, heartfelt kind of false teaching. The true teaching has to come from God. And so God comes to Micah. And so, like we've talked before, that no one has ever seen God, but what they've seen is the only begotten God, the one who is at the Father's side, which is none other than the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So he is the Devar Yahweh. He is the Word of God who visibly comes to Micah. So now he's in the presence visibly to Micah, and now Micah can see. And so you have the same kind of image of one who sees, one who's a visionary and a vision. It's God who gives this vision to Micah so that he can be a true visionary with the vision of Christ, not the vision of his own image and his own imagination. And so in Micah chapter 1, you have the Devar Yahweh, that is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, coming to Micah to give him the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit without measure, as we hear in John chapter 3. He's the one that we are to listen to. He's the one who continues to come to us and then give to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the contrast is these false teachers are teaching with these false spirits. These are doctrines of demons. And so in order to correct this, you have to come from the outside and you send a prophet. And so Micah will come in chapter 3, verse 8, and say, "But as for me, I am filled with power with the Spirit of Yahweh." Because it's the Word of Yahweh, the Devar Yahweh, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who gives him the Spirit of Yahweh. And because he has the Spirit of Yahweh, then he is able to proclaim the truth. This is the Spirit of truth. And we need to be clear that the Holy Spirit is not given apart from the Word. And so Micah is sent to bring this external Word to the people of God so that these people are led back to Christ. And when you have Micah as a prophet giving to us this external Word, then he writes it down so that we now, from generation after generation, for posterity's sake, we have this written Word so we can compare it to any teacher within the church or outside the church who claims to have a special vision or revelation. You can compare it now, and you can see if it matches up with the written Word, because this is the certain Word that we know. And this Word comes to us to do two things. Number one, to reveal sin, and then number two, to reveal the Savior. And this is exactly what Micah comes to do. Micah is given the Holy Spirit so that he would expose a sin. He says, "I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, so that I may declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Because the false prophets weren't doing this. They were preaching peace when there was no peace. And so you can take the words of Micah and compare it to the words of the false prophets to what was written by Moses. And Moses says, when you break this covenant, when you break the testament that's in blood that points to the New Testament in the blood of Christ, well, then you are going to be led astray, and you will not have life, you will not have forgiveness, you will have death. All you will have is your own transgression, your own iniquity, and your own sin that you dwell in. And so Micah is sent from the outside in order to proclaim the transgression and the sin. But he doesn't leave it there. He's also there, as you see later on in Micah chapter 7, to proclaim the one who pardons iniquity and passes over transgression, which, of course, is our Savior.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's Christ in the Old Testament on this Thursday afternoon, October the 30th. We are talking with him about Micah chapter 3. When we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more this word that comes not only from the Lord, but this word that is the Lord. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org, shop online, cph.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's Christ in the Old Testament for another 10 minutes. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be continuing Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're going to be doing the Lutheran Reformation and Music. Dr. Carl Schalk will be our guest, Distinguished Professor of Music Emeritus at Concordia University, Chicago. That's hour two of Issues Etc., Issues Etc. Reformation Week, day number four. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, back to this word of the Lord that comes to Micah, who is, it's not just a word from the Lord, it is the word of the Lord, which is the second person of the Trinity. Was that the point you were making before the break about when he has the Lord, the word of the Lord, he has the Spirit of the Lord?
Yes, exactly. So this is the same word of the Lord in the Old Testament pre-incarnate as in the New Testament incarnate. As he sends the prophets out in the Old Testament, he sends the apostles out in the New Testament.
Now, there's it's actually found in the midst of this, oh golly, this will be Micah chapter 10, I mean chapter 3, verse 10, where he is speaking judgment on the heads of the house of Jacob, and he refers to them as those who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. What's important about noting there?
Well, here we have in this passage that they're building up in Jerusalem, and so these are the builders. And as they're doing this, they're building up Jerusalem in iniquity and sin. They're separating the people away from God. But in this whole process, they're doing this by building Zion with blood. So when you have the external word coming from one of these prophets that's sent to bring repentance and faith in Christ, what do? They slay him. They get rid of him. Any kind of a contrary message, anybody who is trying to challenge their vision, they must eliminate. And so they eliminate literally, physically, by beating and, of course, ultimately through martyrdom. You have the death of the prophets. As Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets. I continue to send them to you, but yet you don't listen. I want to gather you as a hen who gathers her brood under her wings, but you will not come. So they build Zion on blood. Now, see, this goes straight to the core of what's going on in the New Testament, so that when the Word of God himself in the flesh is sent by the Father coming to us to proclaim to us peace, what do the builders do? They build with blood. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So that Christ is this stone that the builders reject, and they put to death the author of life. And so this is key here, that they're building with blood, because this is going to be their pattern, and it will come to fruition in the death and crucifixion of Christ.
So they are their pattern of persecuting the prophets is going to be culminated in their, and this is how Jesus often speaks of it, both directly and in parables, will culminate in the killing of the Son of God, which will, in fact, although they do not intend it, bring about the very judgment and the redemption that God is promising here through the true prophet.
Yeah, and see, so they, again, these are the builders. I mean, these are the ones who are supposed to be building up the people of God. And what they do is they build with blood, and in this whole process, what takes place is they actually build up by rejecting the Messiah. Just like they reject the Word of God in the days of Micah, they reject the Word of God in the days of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, when he's walking around in Galilee, when he goes to Jerusalem, they try to put him to death. And just in our day, too. Even amongst the people of God, the church, you have those who reject Christ himself and try to get rid of him, eliminate him.
Someone might say, you know, this is all fine and good for the Old Testament when there were prophets and false prophets and things like that that you could see walking the streets. Does it apply to us today? Are there still people among us, among New Testament Christians, who, like the Old Testament false prophets, are claiming visions from God?
Most assuredly, and this is why Jesus warns us, beware of false prophets. And how do you watch out for false prophets? Well, those who are causing division, those who are trying to separate us from Christ, those who are trying to fragment the church and divide it into splinters of thousands of different ways that are running away from Christ. And so this is the key. A true prophet proclaims Christ. This is true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament. So a teacher is to teach Christ, to preach him and preach him crucified. And so you'll have even first to Peter, when Peter talks to the baptized there in chapter 1 of his first letter, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied, they all prophesied, inquiring about the person and time of the Spirit of Christ was in them, indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ. So the Spirit of Christ here, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And so a true prophet speaks this word about the sufferings of Christ. This is the preaching the good news by the Holy Spirit. So a true prophet preaches Christ. A false prophet preaches something else. And so this is the key that we're always to watch for. So this is when Micah comes on the scene, he's going to proclaim Christ. And this is what you have in his book. So that throughout his book, he's going to tell of the reign of the righteous Redeemer who liberates people in his light because they've been dominated by the darkness of these religious rulers. And so in Micah 4, he'll tell us that Yahweh will reign in Mount Zion. In Micah 7, he says, Yahweh will be your light. In Micah 5, he says specifically, this ruling Redeemer is born in Bethlehem. That's that wonderful passage about Christ being born in Bethlehem. And so here's Micah proclaiming Christ. This is what a true prophet does. And in Micah 5, he goes on to say, not only is he born in Bethlehem, but he shall stand and shepherd his flock. Now, this goes back to the image of these shepherds who are supposed to be feeding the flock, but instead are feeding on the flock. And so you have the true shepherd, which is Christ, the one who gives up his life for his sheep. He will shepherd his flock, and he will be their peace. And so the true prophet proclaims Christ as our peace. The false prophet proclaims peace apart from Christ when there is no peace.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about Amos chapter 5. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, great to be here, Todd.
Folks, we have a programming treat for you tomorrow, Reformation Day. We're going to broadcast a Reformation Day chapel service live from Kramer Chapel on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. So you can listen Friday morning, October the 31st at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific to a morning chapel service from Kramer Chapel at issuesetc.org. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. is Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Day 4, we've been doing the theme of the Lutheran Reformation and culture, kind of a general theme all week long. We're going to take up the subject of the Lutheran Reformation and music. What difference did it make? Not only in church music, it made an enormous difference in sacred music and the church's music. It also made a difference in kind of general music, music as say, the culture finds it. Dr. Carl Schalk will be our guest for Day 4 of Issues Etc. Reformation Week, live this Thursday afternoon, October the 30th. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.